Well, Merry Christmas, Mike, Rob, and Josh. May your holiday be filled with all the peace, love, and warmth of the season. And maybe.
Just maybe.
Just maybe. A little snow on Christmas morning.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Yes, it is the last week before the big, big day where Santa comes down the chimney and we celebrate the new year. This is our last week of shows for 2024, and we are going to have a fun week with you. And
that's
then,
not entirely true. That's not entirely true because we're recording stuff that
we'll debut. Well, this is the last week we're all going to be together in recording.
Yes,
shows.
Our last week together ever.
We've got shows in the can. I did a show over the weekend with my son that I'd love to talk about because it's just I had a moment where it hit me like a bolt of lightning. But I'll talk about that in a little bit. We're gonna be having little mini shows with Rob Radio and Christmas music and family interviews and gonna try
Voices,
to get one on
Mike,
with
goes from
what
Christmas,
what.
I'd say goes from Christmas past. We've got some people coming back you haven't heard in a while.
Yes,
which is
absolutely
exciting.
Yes. Yeah. And so we're going to have a lot of those shows. I'm going to try to get my daughter on because she's coming down for New Year's. And it should be good. So you're going to get a lot more content than you normally get. And we want to remind everybody right up front to grab your bonus show subscriptions. You can get them monthly. You can get them yearly. And we are this is our push for that. If you want to hear this show and keep this show chugging along, please go ahead and get your bonus show subscription. I will tell you that that this time of year is more pleasant than I've experienced before. I get a vibe when I'm out and about that, I don't know, maybe it's because it's far enough away from the holiday itself. There, I found myself in an outdoor shopping area with people obviously doing Christmas shopping.
The farmer's market?
There was just a little mall nearby.
Okay.
And it was remarkably civil. It was remarkably decent. And, you know, had a door held for my wife. I didn't have anybody shoving past me. And it was crowded, but I was really, really happy about that.
I've seen this, too. I think it's because we've got other things to panic about.
No, I think it's because people are happy because Donald Trump has been elected president of the United States.
I think that's part of it. Mike, sometimes we
say
the same things.
I'm just sending it out there because Josh catches so much crap from people.
Sometimes, Mike, we say
this. Just piss some people off on his
behalf. The same things in different ways.
Yes.
You know what? I'd say that people have been more pleasant. Last week was a record for me. Of the 7 days of last week, five of them I got to go to the post office for different things. And the post office
picking up or sending out your fruitcakes.
Always dropping off. And not just fruitcakes, gifts for the less fortunate, all of these things. And so I'm out there, and the post office is a great barometer of people's mood. And it was cheerful, but every bit as stupid as ever.
If I was down here, I would tell you that the post office is a barometer of elderly people's mood. Because, look, everybody uses it this time of year, but by and large, you know, the old put the stamps on the pad, you know, that's the elderly that do
well,
that. With the technology we have nowadays, they're really, and my wife, by the way, in her 40s is just as guilty as anybody else. Yeah. We're the old snail mail drill where I've got the rolls of stamps because Carla's got this letter writing business that she does, and
right.
I'm involved with that too. And it's just, you know, it's fun because it's kind of old school. So I like
it's
that.
Not just old people. I saw people my age, a little younger, super entitled people. That would come into the post office. Now, the best day, I think, last week might have been Tuesday, because I think that's the heaviest shipping day of the year. When I got to the post office in Leesburg, there was a line six deep to pull into the parking lot, just to get in there to try to get a parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in line.
You were there, too.
I know, Mike, but you know what? The people must have their fruitcakes.
I understand. And there's really no other... way.
Option. Yeah,
well, you could have someone come and pick it up at your home.
Well,
if you
I could also use
did the logistical
or the UPS store.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you could print your postage in advance and then just drop it in the bin. But it was just a couple items, and I thought, you know what? It's not anything difficult.
Is it a? Is it kind of a comfort zone too?
Well, it's part of it. It's. I don't mind going to the post office if I'm not there for a. If I'm not making a career of it.
And you're shipping stuff out that has to get there. So I would imagine
there.
I would go to the post office if I was in your shoes because I would be concerned that if I did it any other way, it would be one more. And by the way, I'm because of my golf ball debacle, I am still. I am extraordinarily paranoid now about shipping and receiving. I mean, like you would not believe because they're grifters.
I trust the post office. I go to a UPS store or a Mailboxes Express or something in my neighborhood, and they all look like they're owned and run by the cast of Duck Dynasty. And I can't trust this. It doesn't seem right. And then at one time, I said, can I drop off something for the postal service here? He said, of course. I said, then what happens? He says, our mailman picks it up. And I said, so you're just like a little satellite of the post office.
Yeah,
you don't actually
conduit.
Provide
they're a conduit for FedEx and for UPS and for the USPS.
It's that's no good.
What else would they do?
It's no good, is what
Why
it is.
Why is it?
It adds
Why
a step.
Why is it no good?
It adds a step. And Mike, what is? I like knowing that when I put my postage,
no guarantee if you send it through the regular post office, it's going to happen.
No, there's a guarantee because you get a tracking number. And also,
get a tracking number with FedEx. You get a tracking number with UPS.
Not if you drop off something for the post office at the UPS store.
Because
really,
correct.
And you're just adding a day. You're adding a chance for your package to be lost. But Mike, the problem at the post office, and I wish you'd come back because your name is on the show.
This is just so dull to me. This is like you're so into it, and it's so dull. It's so boring. I don't like going there. I don't like talking about it. It really depresses
Mike,
me.
What about
it depresses
the,
me?
I need to
because it makes me think about the environment, which I cannot stand. And my wife, God bless her, she does all of that, and she's constantly shipping stuff, and she's involved with that all the time.
Then
she has relationships
she has dealt
with people.
I'm sure she has dealt with the entitled people that you see wait in line.
She really doesn't. She uses both. She uses both the post office and her little thing.
And they get up to the
store.
Counter finally, and they drop their items on the counter in front of the post office person with the piece of plexiglass that's still there from COVID that every time you pass a package, you bump it, and it starts waving and makes exciting lighting effects in the post office.
Right.
But they'll put down all this crap, and then they'll look at the postal worker and say, what do we got here? And that's when they start thinking about boxing and taping and all the stuff that should have been done at home.
Yeah, I agree.
Post
with
office
that.
Doesn't work.
I don't have to be there
you.
To. I agree. I agree with that. That's
And
that's
I saw ladies
cool.
that were literally boxing cookies in the lobby. I'm like, don't do that here. This is not a clean place.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're going to go to the post office, and Mike, I know I'm part of the problem because, as you said, I'm
well, no,
there.
But you have you. I'm not giving you a hard time here because you actually do. You're sending out stuff that has to go out, and we're part of the, you know, shipping's part of our biz because we do a lot of, you know, stuff. There's a lot of stuff online that you can find at the Mike O'Meara Show store.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't have to go to the post office, like if you bid on our fruitcake, our final fruitcake.
We are still doing that, yeah. So we're hawking right up to the last minute here, but I'm glad everything
got out for you. I guess
my takeaway,
Mike, my takeaway is this.
Yes,
when
Rob.
You go to the post office, be courteous to others by having your stuff together. That's
be courteous,
all.
kind and forgiving. Love everybody each day. No matter how frustrating life gets, just realize that you'll find a way.
That's exactly how the song goes.
Well, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost. I'm sorry. Back to this. Hey, so I realized listening to my Christmas channel, and I have never been a Christmas music person. I really, my wife, now hold on, Rob, hold on.
I am, Close I'm it. Listening, Close I'm excited. It. Mike, why even, don't just go, man, go.
Okay, but when you sit there and you're going.
I'm excited and I'm laughing because I have something I'm
thinking
about.
What happened is there is a channel that I listen to that has Christmas music, and they have covers of Christmas songs. There is a Katy Perry particular song that, could not suck enough. There are wonderful covers that are very unique. Tom Hanks' wife, Rita Wilson, does the Christmas song and did it in a complete... And did it in a way that I found highly entertaining.
It was different. Sexy, right?
No, it was nice. But
is that the version where she talks about Tom's upcoming projects?
No, it was just a nice little. But there are really crappy covers. And then I didn't realize that Jimmy Fallon, because hosting a television show is not enough. This says everything you need to know. This says everything you could possibly need to know about Jimmy Fallon.
I think we listened to the same Christmas channel.
Holly?
So yesterday. No, I went to yesterday. We went to look at Christmas lights, and I went on the little Apple Music and hit Essentially Christmas because I thought, well, Essential Christmas means the songs everyone wants to hear.
Absolutely, you're going for the traditional,
right? It was not. It was a bunch of Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon, I think what you were has listening hijacked to. It, and it really to me is it couldn't suck enough. He's just getting back to this, regardless of whether they're good or bad. What's the deal? I mean, you got the gig. What is the deal with these?
It's these everything particular individuals. He has this Christmas album coming out, right? And he's got all the duets on it. Ugh. But they've given him, Mike, they've given him his
a
own
channel. Yeah.
And it's called Holiday Seasonings. And he does stupid bits in between the songs. And the songs are horrible. Your other options, Mike, are Holiday Traditions. And
that's
Holly.
A good and Holly is so I pulled off of that. The Traditions one is fine, but getting back to Jimmy Fallon,
right?
Here's the way I look at it. I think that when you have gotten the cheriest gig of the cherry gigs, when you have been anointed host of the Tonight Show, the absolute pinnacle of television late night talk. And you got to dick around with all these other things, side hustles. You know, you're the host of the Tonight Show. You're not. There he is. You're the host of the Tonight Show. You know, that's very sophisticated the way you did that with your.
I'm
camera.
Sorry, Mike. We don't all have remote controls.
Okay.
My remote controls, Mike. My hands.
Isn't that great? Jimmy Fallon has gotten the gig, and he's not Ryan Seacrest, who has to, you know, Ryan Seacrest, God bless him, is a DJ, and he can do all the side hustles he wants.
Sure.
Because that's because he knows, because he's in our industry, that it could go away in a minute.
How are you enjoying him on Wheel?
I don't watch Wheel.
Didn't you used to watch Wheel?
Occasionally, I don't.
I don't look at Wheel now.
Ryan Seacrest, in my humble opinion, the times I've watched him on Wheel of Fortune, and I don't like to slam him because I love when one of the DJ brethren has done good. And he picked the winner with American Idol, one of the great television shows in our TV history. But I don't believe that the fit, I never thought I'd say this, but Pat Sajak was so vanilla and so dull that it actually works for that show. Ryan is just too Ryan for that show, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not, and you know, when he's talking about, he throws a lot more of his plugs in on Wheel of Fortune for his radio program. And let me see if I get this straight. We got the radio gig in LA, number one market in the United States.
One.
Then he's got Wheel of Fortune now,
which could be number one or number two syndicated program in the world.
And he's got the live show. That does he tape it in New York still?
Oh, with Kelly? Did he leave that? Because it's Mark Consuelos now, right?
Oh, that's right. So he doesn't do that anymore. All right, so that's it.
Slacker.
He's off the hook.
And
he's
Wheel is about 3 weeks of work.
That's right. So he's cool. So he's got the radio thing, and he left Wheel. That's it.
Do you, right, when you, if you look at him on Wheel,
but I don't like him as host. I don't know why. I don't.
Do you feel like he has like prepared lines that he has to wedge in during the game? I feel that way.
No,
I feel like
maybe.
He's got almost like liner cards in front of him.
And there's there, you know, and meanwhile the Sajak daughter is sitting there waiting for Vanna to die, and it's just
she's there putting poison in her water.
Here's the thing. This is what has changed when I've looked in, and I've watched it a couple of times. I hardly stay on it at all.
All right.
But I will say that Ryan Seacrest hosting Wheel of Fortune has exposed more than Pat. Pat was so dull that he masked the stupidity of that show. Yep. Ryan, for some reason, his infectious energy level has exposed what a dull box of people is on that show.
Think maybe they've knocked down the contestants a rung to go next to Ryan?
No. I don't think there's any conspiracy. I think it's the same group of people, and it's just
same
Ryan Seacrest
bright,
in that show.
Wonderful Americans that are on that program.
I just feel like it's exposed more. Pat was so, hey, how are you? Okay, here.
Yeah.
Pat had a mocking tone about
he did.
That was almost saying, hey, what am I doing up here? Ryan is too happy to be to be there.
He loves I'm that sure he got he the job.
But that's the great gig. That's the
I saw like 20 seconds of it on Friday, and the contestant says, I'd like to solve it, please.
Right.
And then says nothing because they don't know what it is. And Ryan says, oh, you're going to run out of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like such, it is so remedial.
As long as it's not hosted by Nate Burleson, I'm a happy camper. All right. As long as it's not hosted by like the NFL and the CBS Morning Show by Nate Burleson,
right,
who is the Michael Strahan wannabe that is on CBS, and now he's hosting the morning show, like Michael Strahan's hosting the Today Show, and I'm sorry, ABC show, Good Morning
Good
America.
Good Morning America, Mike.
And then what did Strahan get? The Pyramid. Didn't he get the
pyramid
gig?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to be bringing back Hollywood Squares.
Yes.
And Nate Burleson is going to be the host of Hollywood Squares. So he's kind of doing everything. The difference is Nate Burleson was not a Hall of Fame caliber football player. Nate Burleson is he loves to go into the costuming trailer. In my humble opinion, that's what he likes best.
He likes the big coats.
He loves the big. He's wearing a coat on the NFL that I'm sorry. This is football, okay? If you want to wear your mother's coat that your mother's going to wear out to the New Year's Eve party,
know, Mike. If you look at Shein or Temu or any of those wonderful targeted websites from other lands, they will tell you that the men's fur coat is happening right now.
Oh, God.
Now,
I know
where do
it's
you
trendy.
Weigh in on
I know I'm behind. I know I have no sense of style.
Where do you weigh in on furs?
This concerns the coverage yesterday. Josh, I take it you got a chance to look at that as you were watching the pregame show for the Baltimore Ravens, New York Giants debacle yesterday.
Was it close?
It's close that they're going to get fired. The whole team's going to
just fire the whole team and bring in Nate Burleson.
Rob, here's a little example of his coat.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Oh, you see, I like that.
You don't count.
I count. Mike, I matter. I matter.
I'm looking at him. I'm going, oh, really?
He's trying to appeal to me, the casual football fan.
Look, I know that sports and the dandy is very much alive in sports. It's been around for a long time.
Yep.
Where we have men down here, you will go out to a party and you'll see the man that spends more time than his significant other in the closet primping and preening, and this is that guy. This is that guy.
Do you think
right
now look
there.
At that beautiful
he
loves
coat. The fur collars.
Do you think that coat would look good on, say, Jimmy Johnson?
Look, maybe it's jealousy.
Maybe
it's jealousy because he's such a good-looking guy and he's so fit, but I can't stand it.
You know what they should
really
do, Mike? I think he needs to get his own Christmas channel on XM Radio, and that would get people
Here's
to know
the
real
Nate
Burleson.
Every time I'm watching Nate Burleson, he has a look on his face that goes, Yeah, I know how good-looking I am. I know how pretty I am. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
We get
that's
that from Josh
I'm
a lot.
Aware that Josh might feel the same way about Nate Burleson. That's why we're getting so many lovely photographs of Nate Burleson up here. And
I just don't understand how this guy got the pass.
I don't either. I don't understand how
he's
all
connected.
Of a sudden he is
he's
anointed.
He's got to be connected.
I thought you had to achieve in your chosen sport a certain level of greatness to make the transition. Not necessarily to be a booth announcer, because those guys, you can get the fourth tier guy that becomes a former football player and is a good announcer.
Right.
And, you know, I've done a little dive on Nate Burleson. He was an average receiver. He had some great seasons, but most of the time, not that good. I think, like many NFL players, he was curtailed by an injury.
You protest a little too much, Mike, because you talk about how you don't like
him. Yesterday with the fur coat yesterday. By the way, the red coat, I'm cool with that. As a matter of fact, if I was, you know, a younger man, I might even deign to throw that out in a cold climate. But the one yesterday. Do you have any more pictures of the Nate Burleson? Who, by the way, if you're keeping score at home, no appreciable reason I don't like him other than he's a good-looking guy with a cherry broadcasting gig. So, yes, this is pure jealousy.
He did play 11 years in the NFL.
He did play he had a long career, not necessarily a spectacularly successful career. Would that be accurate, Josh?
Yeah.
Would you think, right?
Yeah.
Minnesota Vikings for a long time, right?
Yeah, he was fine.
What position was he?
He's fine. He's a receiver.
Okay. Why were you speaking of people that... Now, Mike, that's nice. Look at that.
Okay,
we
there it is.
We could use a little more of that
from you. Yeah, look at me. And now here's my latest hairdo that I have.
More like a hair don't. Mike, do you... Is it the letters B-U-R-L? Because yesterday you twice texted me that,
let's get to our communication. We'll get off of Nate Burleson. And boy, about time, huh? Boy, it's about time that we should. So... the texting messages that, and I began this, so I'm guilty. So I'm going to go right to.
And this was early. I woke up to this, I believe.
Yeah.
And I was shocked.
So Friday morning, this is Friday morning at 7:43.
Yes.
Josh, you'll enjoy this. Friday morning at 7:43, Josh, I text Rob, Burl Ives was a prick.
And you know what? I take that to mean one step worse than a dick.
Rob responds in as perfect a way for me as you possibly could by saying, "Preach." And then I give him a pink heart emoji.
Yes, queen.
Friday afternoon.
Yes.
At 5:43, Rob puts up one of the earliest album covers of Burl Ives. The Decca label. It's actually a 45 label.
It's
right?
From my home. I have that Burl Ives extended play.
And it is The Fox, Old Man Tucker.
Yes.
All of his little folksy songs from Burl Ives.
Old Man Tucker combed his hair with a wagon wheel.
I respond.
Yes.
I respond to Rob with a prick. Rob responds with a ha ha emoji with that.
I waited long enough to send the photo.
Yeah, Burl Ives, if you're keeping score at home. The whole thing around, and we didn't get to this, and I got a lot of crap for whatever reason when I talked about it the first time, about the television program Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which I have analyzed multiple times in the past, is populated by absolutely miserably evil characters. Yeah. Now, It creates the illusion of Christmas and elves and Santa and that it's a sweep, but it really is a horrible story of I don't value you unless you can do something for me. It is a horrific message to send to children, especially at the holidays.
Yeah, it starts with him being bullied.
He gets bullied by the coach bullies him. You would never have a coach do that in modern day. You wouldn't say, "Well, Rudolph, you can't play in any more reindeer games."
Well, even Santa side-eyes him. You know, Santa doesn't want
Santa
that.
Comes in right away when he's born. Say, you better get working, Donner. Is it Donner's kid? Is he Donner's kid?
I don't remember.
I'm not sure what it is. But anyway,
I think Dasher
like,
is the coach.
Right.
So it might be Donner, yeah.
But it's Rudolph being
ostracized.
Did
you know his mother, Mike? His mother was human.
That's why you shut up. All right, I'm good for you. So anyway, I don't know. Santa's a prick. The head elf is a prick with the dentist. By the way, the king on the Land of Misfit Toys doesn't
even
let these people stay.
You must mean King Moonracer.
King Moonracer, who has the same voice as Santa. So they
exactly.
Cheap. And then, and the Land of Misfit Toys. And Santa, Misfit Toy.
How would you like a wagon with square wheels?
And they can't even stay there. They can stay. You can stay the night. Well, F you. I want to stay the whole time.
But yeah, Mike, technically, he's not a toy.
And then,
he's a reindeer.
When there's the massive blizzard, and the only way Santa can see is because of Rudolph's red nose, by accident, all of a sudden, you like me now? Oh, now you like me. Now that I can leave the sleigh. So it's really messages for our youth in my home.
Would have been better if Rudolph had manned up and said, F you, Santa, you can fly your own sleigh.
Home. I think that it is a sweet holiday story. And look at Frosty. Compare it to Frosty the Snowman.
One that ends in death.
You have to look at Frosty and realize how that girl, Karen, what a selfless, delightful creature she is, where she hops on freezing to death almost, accompanying Frosty to the North Pole. And then, Frosty melts because that horrible, there's only one evil person in that, and that is the magician. That's the way it should be. Should have one bad guy. All right, I'm going to give you the list in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeers of
the
miserable, nasty characters. All right? You have the father, Rudolph's father, covers his nose with mud. Mm-hmm. Covers his nose
might
with
not
mud
have been
because
mud,
he's not proud of it. Santa, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
That's it. All right? Then you have all the little other reindeer that are playing with him that are horribly cruel to him, and the coach. Who's miserable to him as well. And then, how about, just for fun, we throw in a little animal abuse, too, with taking a vibrant Northlands creature, the abominable snowman, and knocking its teeth out so it will starve to death if human beings aren't along. And it's horrible what they do to that. And then, toys.
I'm not sure you get credit for animal abuse if it's a mythical animal.
Taking the teeth out of the creature. It's a terrible message. It's horrible. It's that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And then you get Burl. Burl. Ooh.
Ives, yeah.
Let me tell you the story. Oh. And then, pontificating about Christmas and what's right and what's wrong. Burl Ives, you suck.
Wow.
That's what I wanted to say.
Who are the evil people in Frosty?
Frosty's just the magician.
All right.
Even his assistant, Hocus Pocus.
The
rabbit is very, very kind.
He is. He thinks
he's going against going along grudgingly.
Now,
you're missing Mike, the main element of enmity in Frosty the Snowman.
Enmity is
between Frosty and Karen, and that's the sexual tension. And
that's disgusting.
Makes it work.
That's horrible.
That's hot Frosty.
Hot Frosty. There you go. And as far as the big three, the Grinch. Spectacular Christmas message. Mm-hmm. A spectacular that it doesn't matter, that things don't matter. That's just beautiful. That's all kids should know that. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. There it is. But try to get that message with Rudolph. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Horrible.
And
did you watch Rudolph on Thursday night, or did you just wake up Friday morning thinking of Burl?
I think I watched it earlier in the week. NBC run it in on like regular television this year?
It was some anniversary of it this year.
They've run it a few times. So we watched it with our kid. And and so that's why with Burl. And I remember Burl when our old producer a million years ago, Frank Murphy, asked Burl Ives if he would sing a couple of bars of Holly Jolly Christmas. and Burl Ives said, nope.
Mike, I was hoping you'd bring this up. Do you want to hear that actual archive?
This is the interchange between our producer and... Oh, you're not playing it?
No. I'm sorry.
9 days left for Christmas shopping.
It was mislabeled.
9 days left to fill the stocking.
9 days
left for Christmas shopping.
Only got 9 days more.
Hi there.
Hi.
It's getting late. You better hurry and finish your Christmas shopping. Only 9 days left.
He said, you know what? I can improv this one. And the director said...
I thought for some reason you had that tape lying around.
I don't.
Can I get a few bars of Holly Jolly Christmas? Nope.
No. And I think it's funny that you and Don weren't on it. Frank did it in his spare time.
Yeah.
It wasn't on the show.
I think we had him do the interview or something. I don't know what happened. I have no idea. I can't remember that far back.
Now, you've left out probably the grandpapa of all the Christmas specials, and that is Charlie Brown. And in that, you've got the entire Peanuts gang, except for Linus, being commercial, and he saves them from that at the end.
So that's a great message, too.
I think that's a good
message. A Charlie Brown Christmas.
And also, when the villain turns because of plot happenstance, you know,
in
it's an
Charlie
organic
Brown?
Change. Yeah.
Who's the villain in Charlie Brown?
I say everyone that's in the play except for Charlie Brown and Lucy. Even Snoopy's a dick in that for a while because they're all about the commercialism of Christmas.
Okay. Right.
Sally is,
Lucy. So that's the same
theme.
That's the same message.
Yeah, and he turns it around. And so that's an organic change. I think it probably does it better than the Grinch. I'm not a huge Grinch fan. It's not my favorite.
But you will agree they both have nice messages.
Wonderful. Yes, yeah. I agree.
And then there are really no other ones that spring to mind as far as
Little Drummer Boy.
The others have gone away. They don't replay Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah.
They had the California Raisins Christmas when I was a kid growing up. That one's gone.
Sure,
Garfield gone. Christmas is
they
gone.
They die. They die. Yeah, and they die a deserved death. They really do.
Well, the raisins just got very dry and very hard. And they couldn't do the show anymore.
Absolutely. I say yay. I say yay
oh,
for
Mike,
that, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike, you're missing one of my favorites. The Year Without a Santa Claus that has the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser.
That's dead too.
That's also
gone.
Dead.
That's
no,
gone.
They've brought it back on.
No.
Some,
they brought
it's
it back
not
very
on network.
Obscure, but it's.
It's
you know,
no,
can
they brought
find
it back on Family and all those. It's back. It was out of print for a
you
while.
You have to understand. Back means like everybody talking about it. Major network runs. That's what they do. That's
well, Mike,
it, you know?
You should talk with my friends because
so
everybody's talking.
Before
about
we
it.
End this little discussion, I just want to add one thing. So yesterday, I'm taking my kid to a birthday party in one of the neighborhoods nearby,
yes.
And I get a call from Rob. Then I miss it. Then I call him back. He doesn't answer. By the way, I will never understand the call that comes in 6 minutes earlier. You don't get the call. You see it. You call right back, and the person doesn't answer the phone.
Well, first of
I've
all, the
never
problem
understood
with that,
that
is, Mike,
I've
that
never understood
you
that
did not
life.
Pick up.
And yeah,
so
I know.
That's
I didn't pick up,
it.
But then I called
and
you right
then,
back, and you didn't pick up.
Well, because my mom called me, and you can't just brush your mom off. My mom was telling me a thrilling story that I can't share on the air.
Rob's in the car, I think, with or he's somewhere with his wife.
Yeah, we're coming home from a movie.
Rob brings up another Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, Clarence the angel.
Clarence Oddbody, as we learned on the bonus show.
Mary, played by Donna Reed. Beautiful Donna Reed in that. Mm-hmm. Really my all-time favorite.
Bert the Cop,
I love, Ernie the Cab Driver.
Yeah.
But Rob felt it necessary. And Josh, you should understand that when I get a text from Rob, it's no sweat. I don't even think about it. When I get a phone call from Rob, I'm about 50-50 between being what is it and being absolutely terrified that there's going to be some horrible, you know, death.
Well, it's
vomiting, COVID-related, because Rob's calls occasionally involve doom and gloom.
Mike, you've never really made it clear to me that you love getting calls about everything. So
I don't like phone calls.
You don't like the phone. You never have. And so I only call you when it's something I feel I can't convey in a text.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened here.
And by the way, you say, I've got a funny story. You start laughing like right away, and I think it's... for me, it's a very, very comforting feeling because I know there's nothing wrong. Right. Away, I relax.
Well, you should
so
pick up the phone, and as soon as I answer, you say, is everything okay? And I'll say yes, and then you're good.
All right. But you call me.
Right.
And I didn't realize until later that your wife was in the car. This is the observation, and this is why I wrote this down. My call from Gummy Rob and Gummy Carrie. Because, Josh, tell me if you don't think this was a gummy-inspired phone call right here.
No, there were no gummies in my body.
Gummy Rob is fun. So this is what I get from Rob. What were you calling to tell me?
It's very important. Now, Josh, have you ever seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes, I like It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, very good.
Great movie.
I do think that going to the theaters with a gummy to watch It's a Wonderful Life would be a great experience.
But I wasn't on a gummy, and I didn't have a gummy the night before either.
So there are no gummies involved in this story.
No, this is just your Rob brain. And I've said it before, my brain must be a horrible place. Because Carrie, as one of two Christmas surprises this weekend, got tickets for the Alamo, where you actually had a wonderful incident with Patton with your phone.
Yeah,
the Alamo Draft House out here in Ashburn.
Went off at a bad time, and you're not supposed to bring him in there, and I was totally embarrassed.
And it was a showing of It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen, and they called it the It's a Wonderful Life brunch, and it was at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I said, this is so cool. So we got up, and we go there, and I find out only after we get there, Carrie, my wife of many, many years, has never seen the entire movie. She's never seen the entire It's a Wonderful Life.
Is there any particular reason for that?
Yeah, I think because whenever black and white comes on the TV screen, my family scatters like cockroaches when you turn a light on.
It's got to be difficult for you, Mr. Black and White.
I know.
God.
Well, actually, Mike, it's not as difficult for me as it is for them because I like the black and white.
I know you live for it. I just would think that they would have watched this with you, but they don't hang in there till the end.
I think sometimes if a movie is so overplayed, you end up just avoiding it because you've seen this scene and that scene.
Probably.
And you
probably
avoid it.
Right. Well, so Carrie saw it for the first time and she loved it. I mean, she even teared up at the right places. She did a great job. But it started occurring to me, and I'd say between me and I spoke with my mom about it, I'd say between my mom and myself, we've seen that movie probably 150 times. That's just a guess, okay?
Okay.
And I was watching it, and when you go to the Bailey Building and Loan, you have to think of the storefront there in Bedford Falls. They're on the second floor. There's stairs to go up to the Bailey Building and Loan. You can see the young George Bailey run
and
up
you
the stairs
that,
to see his dad.
You know that by, you know, looking at the exterior shots where the building is there with ground level, and then you see the offices of the bank building
Bailey
and loan
Brothers
on
building
the
and
second
loan
floor.
Yeah. And you actually do see young George run up the steps. So that's
you mentioned
the way
that to me, and I immediately know what you're talking about because, of course, that's the way it is. Yeah,
there are two scenes in the first act of the movie where Mr. Potter is in Bailey Brothers Building and Loan in his wheelchair. Now, this was before the Americans with Disability Act. So I'm wondering, how did they get him up there? He only has one goon. And the wheelchair itself has to weigh 1 billion pounds because it's like carved hickory.
Immediately I said to you, well, obviously the goon carried him up the stairs and then dropped him in a chair. But you'd have to go back.
And then I asked, did ask you how he carried him. Was it fireman style or like a bride over the threshold?
And then, now when he's sitting in the conference room, yes. Is he in a regular chair or is he in the wheelchair?
He's in the wheelchair.
He's in the wheelchair.
Your
okay,
favorite
so,
line, shove me up.
Yep. Shove me
shove
up.
Shove me up. Shove me up. Yeah.
So, and Rob, when Rob pointed out, we had a discussion about bringing the wheelchair back upstairs when he brings Potter up and either sits him against the wall. It's against the wall.
Well, my solution was because the wheelchair is heavy. If you look at it, it's ornate.
Yeah, we speculated that the wheelchair would be heavy wood like everything was in those days, and it'd have to be sturdy. So you've got like a very, very exclusive ochre mahogany wood that's, you know, the wheels, the spokes on the wheelchair, the handles, the whole thing. It's
so,
you know,
my
fancy
theory was this, is that he took Potter from his coach, the HP coach that's horse-drawn,
yes,
put him in the wheelchair, took him to right in front of Bailey Brothers Building and Loan, and then sat him on the curb, and then took the wheelchair upstairs.
Yeah,
but, Mike,
goes,
I even thought further about it.
Right.
Is he backed the wheelchair up? There's nobody in it. It's empty. And he tilts it back, and he goes up the steps. Bump, 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 dragging.
If he's incredibly powerful, and he's a hardy guy. He's a big goon.
Yeah,
so
he is.
That's it. So
but
I think Potter it could go either
fat.
Way.
Potter
right.
weighs a lot. That's
yeah,
no
does.
Easy guy to carry up.
Yeah, he
and
does.
Also, it would be sad if you came down after taking the wheelchair up and Mr. Potter had fallen from the curb.
Yeah, well, if he, I think George Bailey would love to see him fall. But and at the end of this conversation,
does
Josh,
his office have to be on that second floor?
No.
Could
no,
his office be on the first floor and the rest of the building upstairs?
No. because they because the stairs are right next to the door. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you see the stairs, but I just
do.
You see the stairs.
Yes.
You do. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're on the second floor. And my,
absolutely.
My question to Rob, and then Carrie weighed in a couple of times about it, and I said, how high are you guys?
Yeah. It's, you know, this, you know. It sounds like a gummy conversation.
I don't think, I mean, it just makes sense. The only thing that made me mad is that I hadn't thought of it before. It really is a glaring continuity error for that.
Well, no. No, it's just suspend disbelief and imagine that there was a way that they got him to the second floor.
Like
there was
an elevator?
They might,
or it could have been elevators back then.
I don't see a single elevator in the whole movie. There's no elevator in the movie. Not in the Emporium.
If it was a horse-drawn carriage, probably not elevators.
Otis wasn't even born yet.
And, you know, it could have been, he could have been hauled into one of the windows by a series of ropes and pulleys. That could have been done as well. A knotted bed sheet to get Mr. Potter. But now you're motivating me to watch that movie. Really, really want to watch that movie.
Don't wait and watch it on NBC. NBC will show it like Christmas Eve, and they'll make it 4 hours with commercials. You got to stream it. Mm-hmm. Because the whole movie, and I will say this, I've watched the movie a lot of times. But when you go into a theater, it really is different, and I'll tell you why.
So you went to see It's a Wonderful Life in the theater.
Yeah, and I had never seen it on the big screen, but the
big screen. How was the experience?
It was beautiful, gorgeous. I mean, the print was stunning, and there was probably, by my estimate, 100 people in the theater, which is not a sellout, but that's a pretty good crowd.
Were you the youngest?
Probably. That seems to be the theme of everywhere I go.
And he's in his 50s, I should point out.
Yes. But, Mike, what the movie offered that I'd never had before is the audience reactions and the timing of the movie that allows for the laughs and the screams and, you know, reactions to that. And I love the people that when Uncle Billy put the money in the new spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this 100-year-old movie. When Uncle Billy puts the money,
Uncle Billy.
Yeah, he puts the money and gives it to Potter by accident. All through the audience, you heard, "Boo!"
Yeah, Uncle Billy, you moron.
He's the worst. Remember when we did the play of It's a Wonderful Life on the show, and Uncle Billy was Charlie, and it wasn't much of a stretch.
Oh my God! What did I do with the money? I lost the effing money. I had strings tied around my fingers.
But I've always talked about software matching hardware when you're doing media stuff.
Right.
And to see a movie that was built to be seen in a theater with an audience, it was next level, and it is almost a perfect movie.
I'd do it if they had it down here. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So Mr. Potter magically transported, teleported up to the second floor of the Bailey Building alone.
Maybe
a little Christmas factoid.
Mike,
from
there
us
could
to
be
you.
There could be jets on the wheelchair.
Special jets, yes. When they make the sequel, we can do that. We're going to take a break, come back with our roundtable, and more fun and more thrills on the program because we really didn't get to anything at the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Holiday time. Yeah.
Look at the Christmas promo.
The latest bonus show is loaded with the spirit of the holidays.
The first rule of elves is we don't talk about it.
Mike, Rob, and Josh talk Christmas movies.
The McAllisters live outside of Chicago.
Yeah, that's why they all drink milk with their pizza.
It just wouldn't be the holidays without the music of Thurl Ravenscroft.
I wouldn't touch you with a 10.5-foot pole.
And Brenda Lee.
I'm singing my song. Look at my dog.
No!
No.
A bonus show subscription makes a great gift, and it's always the perfect size. Don't forget, you can still get yearly subscriptions for a limited time only at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Fumes.
Hey, what are your goals for the upcoming holiday season? International travel, connecting with family and friends. Remember, learning a new language can mean meaningful conversations and cultural appreciation. Can you imagine chatting with your relatives from the old country in their native tongue? You can do it. You simply need Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, plus the built-in True Accent feature, you know I love this, gives you feedback on your pronunciation. I mean, this is meant for me. I love it so much. It's like having a personal trainer for your dialect. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership that offers lifetime access to all that Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, TMOS listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Listen, that's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today. Do it for yourself or as a gift that keeps on giving, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
oh my God. Hey, everybody, your family and friends, give them the gift of language. How about Rosetta Stone? Do you need a gift idea or a last-minute gift? A lot of you do this time of year. Your family and friends will love the gift of language. How about 50% off all 25 languages for a lifetime and no shipping fees? Give the gift that keeps on giving. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages like Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. Plus, the built-in True Accent feature gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a personal trainer for your dialect. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership for 50% off. That, my friends, is a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Today, TMOS listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership half off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Listen, that's 50% off 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today. Do it for yourself or as a gift that keeps on giving. You can speak to Santa in Dutch. Rob actually will do it for us right now. Ready?
Sinterklaas kapuntje, dansen in mijn schoens, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. Hit the thing, please. We're ready to go. You start today, ladies and gentlemen, with this is a bummer, but I thought I'd mention it because we're such big fans. I know I am. And Conan O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Conan O'Brien, let me see. He lost both of his parents last week, which was really, really a drag. Really, really big drag. Conan's father, Dr. Thomas O'Brien, I didn't realize that Conan's parents were so accomplished. He died on Monday at the age of 95. His health had been failing. He's 95. Then Conan's mother, Ruth Reardon O'Brien, how Irish can you get, passed on Thursday. She was 92. So his dad, Thomas O'Brien, graduated from Harvard Medical School, and his mother, Ruth, graduated from Yale Law School. These are educated folk.
I guess she couldn't get into Harvard.
Didn't Conan go to Harvard, too?
He did, right? Yeah. Wasn't Harvard part of that? Boone.
Let's see. They got married in 1958. In addition, Conan, they had three other sons, two daughters, and nine grandchildren. They were Irish Catholics.
Super Irish,
they?
Yeah. They really do it for fun once in a while.
Is that not working? Hello, come on now. I want it louder. Is it? Can
but,
you hear
that? You know, it's one of those situations where people that have been married for a billion years, they die. Wow. Heard that.
Yeah.
They die within like a few days of each other. It just
very
happens
sad.
Sometimes.
Very, very, very sad. So sorry, Conan. You're a funny guy, and I love his podcast. Let's get on with Jamie Foxx. Hasn't he been through enough, people? Hasn't Jamie Foxx been through enough? That was a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously yes. He's been through enough, but not everybody got the message. Jamie was celebrating his 57th birthday Friday night at a place called Mr. Chow in Beverly Hills when something broke out between his crew and another table. Someone from the other table, Mr. Chow's like a high-end restaurant out there.
Yeah.
Someone from the other table threw a glass that hit Jamie in the mouth. He ended up getting stitches. No word on what started it. But in an Instagram post yesterday, Jamie said, quote, "The devil is busy, but I'm too blessed to be stressed." Okay. He added, quote, "The devil is a lie. Can't win here. Your light is shining bright. They try to bring..." Okay, blah, blah, blah. He goes on. He goes,
is Mr. Chow okay?
I'm not quite sure.
And do you think P. Diddy is still trying to take him out?
Yeah, remember that story that
he was apparently poisoned, right?
Yeah. No, he had a stroke. He had a stroke and he went into the hospital like we all speculated. You don't believe it?
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing just seems a little too pat and convenient. And
you
also,
never know What caused the stroke?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Drugs, Mike. Hard street drugs.
There we go.
You know. Right.
Travis Kelce really splashed out for Taylor, her 35th birthday. Sometimes I forget she's 35.
She's been around a long time, yeah.
A source claims that he spent close to $175,000 on gifts. Here's the rundown. $19,325 for 35 luxury flower arrangements from the Million Roses. That's the name of the place.
Okay.
19 grand for flowers. Wow.
Oh, they must have been very pretty.
$60,000 plus for a rose gold Day-Date 36 Rolex. $22,000 for a Tiffany & Company gold split cuff bracelet. $25,000 for an Elsa Peretti open heart bracelet. $47,000 plus for a necklace pendant and matching earrings from Van Cleef & Arpels. Didn't they used to give those away on game shows? From
exactly.
Van Cleef & Arpels of Beverly Hills.
And from Chicago, Spiegel 60609.
A source says, quote, 35 years old is a very important birthday, and he wanted to make things really special for
BS.
This special
and
occasion.
And all she wanted was an engagement ring.
Yeah, he didn't do that, did he? You know, that's
I don't think she wants an engagement ring. And believe it or not, while this, I think, is supposed to make Kelce look like a good guy, what it does is it makes Taylor look like she is high maintenance and greedy. Because
why?
She doesn't need any of
that. She didn't ask for anything. He just did it.
Yeah, but he's not going to buy it if he doesn't think that's what she wants. Yeah. She's making $4 million a night, and he's giving her an expensive necklace.
That's why he bought so much stuff. Because when you buy the person that can buy everything,
yeah,
he couldn't.
That's when you get
out.
Something simple. Like he should make her a card out of construction paper.
Yeah, it should have been an experience, a trip.
Yeah,
he should give her a Spiewak gift, a card out of construction.
Mike,
paper.
If I ever run into someone as rich as as Taylor Swift, I will give them a Spiewak gift. But
that's
until
wonderful.
Then, it's
that's
about a $25 cap.
There you go. That's exciting. That's very,
you.
Very glorious.
Thank you.
Or you could bump over to Swarovski like I do here in the mall, the little outlet store.
Is that the crystal place?
Yeah, it's crystal. Yeah. Ain't real diamonds. That's it. That's the way we do
it. You should ask, Mike, when you go there, ask for Billy.
This is the Uncle Billy? Is that
No, Billy Crystal.
Oh, Billy Crystal. All right. A large number. As you know, if you've been living in a box, you don't know this, but everybody's talking about us. A number of mysterious drones have been reported flying over parts of New Jersey and the East Coast in recent weeks, sparking speculation and concern over who sent them and why. The story goes on that New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy wrote to President Joe Biden asking for answers. What's he going to say? New Jersey's new Senator Andy Kim... Hey, and a great artist. I didn't realize they
rock
hired
me
that guy.
Gently, rock me slowly.
He spent Thursday night on a drone hunt in rural northern New Jersey and posted about it on X. Murphy and law enforcement officials have stressed that the drones don't appear to be a threat to public safety. Don't appear to be a threat. These are the car-sized drones we're talking about.
Yeah, we brought this up a couple weeks ago.
We did. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But,
and they're the size of automobiles.
Oh, I think it's all a conspiracy now.
In what
way? Because there's been lobbyists for months trying to get Chinese-made drones, which are the most popular drones, banned from the United States. And it's set to be voted on by the U.S. House of Representatives this week.
So you think...
I think maybe they're trying to...
ban them.
Maybe it's some American drone makers trying to scare people into banning these Chinese drones, which are the best. Because American can't
you know what? You've had more outlandish conspiracy theories on this show, so that's one that's a little more plausible to me.
I think
this
is more plausible than we're looking for a nuke in New York City.
This is true, but it's what is disconcerting. And first of all, the FBI is among several agencies investigating. It just freaks me that we've gone this long and we don't know. We have no idea what's going on.
I don't believe that. I think they don't tell us.
Really?
How do we have the? If we don't know, wouldn't we have jets up in the air trying to figure out what these things are?
I would think so. I would think
so. And the fact that no one thinks it's a big deal means we know. They're just not telling us.
All right. Now, here's another scary part. The aircraft have also recently been spotted in coastal areas. I think there was one where they were following a Coast Guard vehicle. Yeah, here it is. Vehicle. A boat. Republican U.S. Representative Chris Smith said a Coast Guard commanding officer told him a dozen drones closely followed a Coast Guard lifeboat near the Barnegat Light and Island Beach State Park in Ocean County over the weekend.
I know exactly where that is. I used to go there when I was a kid. I have a statue in my basement somewhere of Barnegat Lighthouse.
Well,
and Larry
it's over
Hogan
there on the bookcase. His name is
Barney. Posted
a video
over the weekend of them flying over Davidsonville.
Davidsonville, that's near Annapolis, Maryland. I had an owner of a radio station used to live out there.
All I know is I saw it and it was big as a car.
Look at that thing right there. Oh, shoot it down. Shoot it down now. Come on now.
I hope that's not a Chinese drone. That's what I hope.
Drones. Love the drones. Santa Clauses are coming to town. Thousands of Kris Kringles and jolly old St. Nicks are jamming streets, sidewalks, and bars from Adelaide to Vancouver on Saturday for the annual SantaCon charity pub crawls.
Yes.
In New York City, where temperatures hovered around freezing, the fermented merriment kicked off around 10 a.m. That's a big drunk.
That is.
And was slated to stretch into the evening. Santa's, along with people dressed as Grinches, elves, or other holiday characters, strolled bars and clubs from Midtown to the East Village, flooding the streets with a crimson tide of Christmas cheer.
Delightful. Mike, you should go to that next year and dress up as the magician from Frosty.
Happy, happy, happy. That's not fair. No magic cards. No sleeping in with my boyfriend.
No, stop
happy,
it.
I'm sorry. The New York City SantaCon is a charitable, non-commercial, non-political, nonsensical Santa Claus convention that happens once a year to spread absurdist joy. The organizer's website wrote that on there. SantaCon participants are encouraged to donate $15 to enter participating venues. Organizers say the money will go to charity and, of course, cleaning up the vomit. There it is,
Mike, if I was in New York City and I had $15, I would use that money to put a down payment on a martini. Because that's
martini,
how much drinks
baby.
Are up there.
Yeah. There's Santa Claus. That's it. That's all I've got for you on the round table today, ladies and gentlemen. We will take a short break and we will come back with something special. Why? Because it's the holidays and you know that we are special, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for joining us. You have the pleasure of listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. And remember, old man Potter got dragged up the stairs. If you're keeping
fireman's carry, Mike.
Fireman's carry over the shoulder. Listen up, holiday maniacs. Dermglow Skin has always been about helping others to be their best. Now, Dermglow can help you be the best gift giver. Treat someone to an e-gift card or stuff their stocking with eye masks, face masks, SPF sun care, lip plumper, not plumber.
Plumber.
Lip plumper.
Yes.
Hello.
Is it your old Lip DJ plumper. Name? Did we say that already?
Lip plumper. Body oils.
Yeah.
Shower oils.
Ooh. You name it. Carla's got it. She'll ship it anywhere. How would you like to lose those holiday pounds before you gain them? Dermglow Skin has the help you need. Semaglutide or Tirzepatide delivered right to your front door. If you got 30 pounds or more to lose, just click the weight management tab at Dermglow. And if you need to lose 15 pounds or less, just click on the longevity tab. But that's not all. You can level up with PT-141 for sexual health, B12 for a natural energy boost, NAD Plus to tap into the fountain of youth, and Samorolin and Synapsin to banish brain fog. I want to banish my brain fog. Everything ships straight to your door, so there's no reason to wait. Have questions? Carla's got answers. Start your journey to a better you. Age well with peptides. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I've lost so much weight that when you hear me up on the housetop, I go click, click, click. As opposed to thump, thump, thump. Or clomp, clomp, clomp. I ruined a lot of shingles back in the day. Ruined them. Absolutely. No more. Now go in peace. TMOS. Yeah, that's
Mike,
it.
While Thank we you. Were in break, one of those drones actually came into my living room. Here it comes. I don't know how it got in here.
We got a short break here, and then I want to tell you about my Saturday night out. Had an actual night out to a performance.
A date?
Of a comedy hypnotist, and I'll have all the reviews of that. But you have an anonymous gift corner that I want to get to right away, Robin.
Yes, okay.
What was given to you.
On Friday morning, Carrie brought me a box. This is said box right here. With
Move
no
it into the camera
address.
Shot, please.
There's no return address.
How big a box?
Looks like
it's
about
a large box.
Yeah, it's maybe 8x8x9.
Okay.
It came through the United States Postal Service, addressed to me, but no return
Was it delivered
address.
By a drone?
It was. A drone shaped like Jeff Christie.
Jeff Christie.
No, Chris Christie. I'm sorry. Oh, I always confuse the two.
Oh, okay.
And I opened it, and there's a card, a vaguely written card, and I wrote down what it said. It said, we thought
the
you
phone
might...
calls are coming from in the house.
We thought you might need these, signed listeners. And it was a stack of 45 RPM records, which, and some of them, very, very worthwhile. Some of them will be going in to the jukebox for Christmas. There's a couple Elvis ones in there that are great, and just some great classic old school.
But they didn't sign their name?
No, they didn't. I'd like to know who sent me a copy of
Humdinger. What's your favorite? How many did you get, first of all, and what's your favorite?
Probably,
and how much white powder?
No, none white powder. I'd say there's about 25, and my favorite...
It's a very cool gift.
It's wonderful. This is... And early, you can tell by the labeling of with the dog on the top, that's Elvis Presley's first RCA release of My Baby Left Me. And that's a great song.
It's not a Christmas song, though.
No, no, no. The Christmas songs, Mike, were there was one medley and a great song by Little Miss Brenda Lee, Mike. Miss Dynamite.
Rocking around. Okay, later we'll have some
pumpkin pie. Mike, it's called On Decca Records, I'm Gonna Lasso Santa Claus. Which is a good song. That'll go on the jukebox.
I don't even know that song.
And oh, and this, Mike, all one of my all-time favorites, Mr. Herb Alpert, and This Guy's in Love with You. So it's
very
and you got
nice.
To hear him sing that.
You have any theories as to who it might be?
I don't, but it has to be someone.
Oh, come on, you know you have to be thinking about who it might be.
I have no idea. It has to be someone relatively on the inner circle because they knew my address, but they signed it a listener. So
I
don't
know. Could it have been Pinball Paul?
No, he doesn't care. And also, when they wrote my name on the envelope, it looks like feminine handwriting. Hold on, where is it?
Can't see.
Is it not? No,
it's just a piece of white paper.
White
well,
paper.
At least I white balanced, there. But it is written on there, Rob, and it looks like feminine handwriting. But that could be a that could
so
be.
So you may have a secret admirer.
I should hope so. After all these years, don't you think I've earned it?
Any lipstick absolutely. On the envelope?
No, just some ball.
Was there any human waste in the box?
No, there was none. Some animal.
You have absolutely Mike, no thought to... as to, so this might be a new lady fan.
And what's kind of neat is that it was obviously pulled out of an
old
collection.
I bet Carrie
wouldn't
give you any 45s.
She wouldn't. She doesn't give me anything with a number attached to it, if you catch my drift. It came packed.
What does that mean? I don't know. What does that mean?
It came packed in old 45 divider sleeves. So this is someone's collection. At one point, they had it, you know, organized. So I have to meld it into the major, you know, collection of 45s.
Hey, look it. Maybe it was Josh.
Josh, was it you?
Do you think I have anything that old in my house?
You know, that's true. Even you are younger than these. Wow. So I have to wonder
who did
it. You've
already given me my gift.
I know. The loud cup.
I didn't bring this to the flag football game the other night.
And that's what Travis Kelce should have gotten Taylor Swift.
Wouldn't
you see,
she love that?
That's true right there.
Take hi, everybody. Take it to those Chief games.
I would like to thank this is my 800th Grammy.
When they do those cutaway shots of her up in the owner's box, wouldn't it be great if she had the loud cup?
Yeah. Be great. The loud cup. By the way, I have not diminished my enthusiasm for the loud cup. And we're going to have information on the loud cup coming real soon on Mike O'Mara.
We've got our loud cups coming.
We got them coming, ladies and gentlemen. So, you can buy them. I don't know how quick you can get them, but you can show somebody a picture like my sister does when you're a little tardy. You know.
And we actually have been in talks with Jonathan Loudcup, the inventor. Of the product, and he's very excited to be partnering with
Johnny Loudcup.
Johnny Loudcup. Jonathan yeah, on the paper.
He was rocking the reservation. I
Mike,
don't know.
You should take that. You should take that insert out of the loud cup.
It makes it louder.
It makes it louder.
It does. It does. Right. I experimented on that. I'm bringing. Yeah, I'm taking it to the. No, Mike.
No,
blowing
now
to
put
the
lid back.
On the empty one.
Yes.
And I got
so you're leaving the little cylinder out. Yeah.
Mike,
now
just
put the lid on.
No. It stays out.
No. Put the lid on the big part.
Yeah.
Now put the lid on that. Yeah.
And now, Mike, blow.
What? I can't.
Yes, you can.
The blowing instrument is part of the inside. Wait a minute.
Is it, though?
Wait, you're asking
blow
me
on the
to...
cup. Blow on the cup. Now.
Oh.
You're a child.
Is, That you is a lot louder.
You are such a child. You said,
oh, my God.
Oh.
It vibrates my nose.
That's hot, right?
I made the dogs bark. Let me see if I can do it again. I'm going to turn it up real loud. I'm going to go to the other side of the room, see if I can make the dogs laugh.
Yeah. Really use those lungs, Mike. Make it count.
By the end of the week, we should have TMOS round cups ready for you.
Now what?
Stubby pissed in here.
And you're just finding it now?
I'm taking it to the pound.
Did you just scare it out of her?
Out of him. Goddamn dog. Oh. What the? All right, something fell out of here. I had
Did he pee in the cup?
No, he didn't pee in the cup. The cup was on the table. So that's.
Have you had drinks out of the cup yet?
I think I had something. Whatever I did, it's all on my lap right now. This is taking a bad turn.
Is
bad
it
turn
like an right Italian now. Red sauce or
bad
a gravy?
Turn, bad
or?
Turn. Go to break. Oh, my God. My crotch is filled with liquid. My crotch is filled with liquid.
Tink. So many people, my class. So many girls are so hot right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Stubby, you bastard. I swear to God. I need help. I need a dog trainer. Get in touch with the show. Please help me. Help me. And whatever it was sticky. I don't know why. We'll be right
gross.
Back, everybody.
Mike, you just made it worse.
It's not pee. It's not.
It no, doesn't matter, and I hope it's
Diet
not.
Coke.
Might have been Diet Coke. I'm not sure. I think I put Diet Coke in it. Tis the season to win the coveted Spiewak fruitcake, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't your average grocery store dried out fruit brick. Well, why'd you put a hyphen between dried and out fruit together with no break in between them? Can you read your own writing sometimes?
I can, yes.
It's dried hyphen, then out fruit is one word. Did you know that?
So
seriously,
I
Happy Kringle, did you know that? That's the way. Dried hyphen out fruit brick.
Well, Mike, it should be dried out fruit brick. Yeah. I just missed a space. I can correct this.
This ain't no doorstop.
No, it ain't.
This is the taste of the holidays. Time is running out. Only one fruitcake remains for your bidding. You can easily bid at MikeOmeraShow.com. Look in the store. And if you can't stand the suspense, try our easy buy it now option. So open up your coin purse, Ebenezer, and take a chance on a fruitcake so delightful, you'll be dreaming about it until next Christmas. This is the last one, correct?
Yeah, yes. There are no more after this.
This is the very last fruitcake.
And I'm not baking them next year. This is your last chance to buy a fruitcake ever.
You go to the MikeOmeraShow.com. You go to the store, and it's right there. You can get your fruitcake. Click on the fruitcake banner, and bam, it's right there, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, you're dreaming about it until next Christmas.
That's
right. A top secret recipe that's handmade. We'd love. By the way, Josh looks like powder today, doesn't he? To you, Rob?
He's got a lot of light going on.
My light's really bad. If I lean back or zoom in, my light changes.
Yeah, it's better when you zoom in.
Yeah,
is that a star from the north that is making you look like that? Just peering in from the sky?
It's a drone.
Oh, it's a drone.
Okay, very good. We will have our final winner this Thursday. Plus, here's the best part. A portion of the purchase price will be donated to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So,
is that a dog or?
That will truly make you feel merry this holiday season. How do you like your fruitcake, Mr. Josh? Do you enjoy it? Have you? You've had yours,
gone.
Right? Oh, it's yeah. gone.
Love hearing
you
that.
Nailed
love
it.
Hearing
all right.
That.
My mother-in-law and wife and son all were anxious to try it after the show on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever that was. So it is now gone.
That makes me so happy. It really does. I love it.
Bid with confidence, EpiPen not included. This warning for those with nut allergies. Yeah, sorry, buddy. You don't want to.
No, it's half nuts. You can't do it.
You don't
want to
get it.
I want to. I believe his name was Miller, Mr. Miller, that won our auction last week because Jim Shaffrin actually donated his cake to this guy.
Right.
And I got a note from him. He donated what his bid was going to be plus a little more to LLS. Without having to do that. So thank you,
fantastic.
Mr. Miller.
I think generosity that's awesome. This time of year
love
from
it.
Our listening audience. So Saturday, I roll out to a comedy club, and I haven't been to a show of any kind in a very, very long time when I wasn't doing it myself. So
right.
It was really special. We went
was
to,
it a proper comedy club or like a converted dinner theater where you sometimes see?
Yeah, it's you know, strip mall comedy club. It probably
brick
had
wall
previous,
background.
Yeah. Probably had really nice layout, really clean, you know, good venue. obviously, you know, has been there for a while. And I don't even remember the dude's name. I literally don't remember his name. But we
Flip Worley. He's a comedy hypnotist.
I don't believe it was. This was an older guy. He was bald.
Harry Morgan.
Yeah. Hi. I'm going to hypnotize the room. So we go and had a few cocktails, wait for the show, went to dinner before, and we go with my mo-in-law. And
you didn't eat at the club, Mike? Because I love comedy club food is great.
I didn't. But there were people eating stinky food all around.
Of course.
Us. And,
yeah. Mozzarella sticks.
There was cheese odor everywhere. It was gross. People love cheese. So
Merry
we
Christmas.
Finally get in. He got tickets. Andy got tickets, and I was really grateful for this. And then Carla and Andy are all in. They want to go get hypnotized. I'm not. I it freaks me out. Yeah, I don't want to try it.
Don't need that. And it's a lot of it's faked anyway.
And they get dismissed. Carla first. Carla's one of the first to get dismissed. At one point, he says, keep one hand out and the other hand down and lowered. And Carla's hands are staying at the same level. She's not responding. She's
is
not
that because
attention.
She'd been a little tuned up before the show? Or
I have no idea.
Does
there
she
are
lack
of people
Mike?
Tuned up there, you know?
She seems like she's got wonderful motor skills, so.
It was weird. The comedian seemed to have a little vocal issue a couple of times. Like, I thought he was going to choke to death. You know, at one point, he's like, okay, I just want to understand.
That's it was surprising because the life on the road is healthy.
It was weird. Here's what I leave the show with. It was fine. It was a fine performance.
It's fine.
But my question is, the idea of hypnotism, I didn't walk out of there solely convinced that everybody was hypnotized. I walked out of there thinking they were under the power of persuasion, or what's the term I want to use for this? As far
they want to believe.
They want to believe. It was
just like Josh.
That's
complete
what
opposite.
We always say about Josh. He wants to believe, and you know he did thing where you're going to smell the worst fart, and it went on too long, and then the last part of it, he was hawking his quit smoking videos. I didn't think it was literally like a 10-minute presentation at the end. And
Do you think it's because of your years of dealing with carnies in studio that you have that?
I've had carnies. I've had the best. I had Kreskin on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and
so
see where
you know,
it got him. He's dead now.
He's
dead.
Dom.
Dead.
Talk himself out of that or hypnotize himself out of it. Well, he was a mentalist.
He said you can find the coffin somewhere in this theater.
It was strange. And
Had a guy, and he was in studio in New York City during the WNEW days, and he was going to hypnotize Buzz, and Buzz was not a good topic. And Buzz told us after the fact that they were in the room isolated, and the hypnotist said, come on, guy, you got to give me something. Do something. So he just really wanted him to play along. And I think there's some of that going on sometimes.
It really looked like some people were under up there, but it looked like there was one guy that stayed up on the stage and they said, we now want you to explain something, but you're going to explain it not in English, but Chinese. And you had a few people up there going, nah, man, yee, nah, man. And then you had somebody say Kung Pao chicken with a smirk on his face. I'm like, that dude's not under.
Yeah.
That dude's up there doing shtick. And he mm-hmm. smirked the whole time he was up there. Now, he might be a smirky dude, but and there was one lady who appeared to be absolutely out, completely and totally out. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was fine.
Do you think any of them were plants?
I looked for plants because that's what people told me to do. Look for the plant. I did not see any plant, except the girl with the two-piece. It's a girl with like a two-piece green top with a bare midriff and then, those like workout pants in the same material.
Yeah.
And
exactly
I thought
what you wear to a comedy club.
I thought she might be a plant, but it was fine. Once we got out of there and Carl and I were driving home, she said, you know, I really would have preferred to stay home tonight.
Yeah, you get to that age, Mike. You really do.
I mean, no, when you don't go out for a while, you know. And by the way, I'm taking my kid for Christmas. Got him tickets to the hockey game. Very excited, Josh. You were right about the secondary market. Very, very cool. So don't tell
Michael. Is this going to be the duck throw thing?
No, that's the minor league team. This is the real deal. We're driving an hour and a half over to see the real team, the Stanley Cup winning Florida Panthers.
Look at you. Cool.
Very exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to that because, you know, I'm a massive hockey fan. I was a hockey player, and I love hockey, so this will be very, very special. I'm excited about it.
Are you going
and the good news is, before the game, they're going to hypnotize both teams, which is going to be really, really special.
Hit the ball. Hit the puck like you're a chicken.
Yes. Slap shot. We'll take a break, and we will come back with some beautiful video here.
We're going to flip it, Mike.
You like the flip side. I like the video. We're going to do that when we come back on the holiday countdown version of the Michael Barrett Show. Everybody. Hey, this show is sponsored by Liquid IV. This season, give yourself the gift of hydration. Whether you forget to take a sip of water during the office holiday party or start feeling parched after a long day of traveling. By the way, when it gets cool, you forget that you're as dehydrated as you are. Keep Liquid IV on hand to stay hydrated. I'm really excited, because my peach arrived, and I'm drinking my white peach. Oh, it's so good.
You know, Mike, I got a warning. I have an in-my-house little weather station that monitors weather or the temperature and stuff inside my house and outside. Today, it gave me a warning. It said, house is dry. Under humidity. So, I mean, that your house is drying you out. You must stay hydrated.
Yeah, because when you run the heat, you dry out. The holidays are here. I love Liquid IV. You see me drink it every day out of my Pizza Hut red cup. It's the best. It keeps me going. Whether you get regular or sugar-free, you can choose from about a million flavors. Plus, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, and always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Mm. Don't think you don't need it. The dry air of winter will dehydrate you before you know it. Liquid IV to the rescue. It will prolong the life of all wreaths and holiday roping by 46%. That is a fact written by Mr. Rob Spiewak. Do not take that to the bank.
All right.
And do not bet on it. Tear poor, live more. Liquid IV. 1 stick, 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. Stay hydrated through the holidays with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, Liquid IV, Liquid IV.
Mike, it's worth it. It's the best.
And 20% off your first order. There you go. That's enough. Okay. Thank you.
Right, liquidiv.com.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Love Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. Mike, let's start with this. We have never been one to exalt the career of disc jockey. And make no mistake, even though we are podcast hosts and ostensibly influencers, we're still just disc jockeys. But what if you're a disc jockey in a nightclub that is a strip club? I would say that's a step down, wouldn't you?
It's definitely, I mean, even in the world of club DJs. Now, back when I was a club DJ, it wasn't the, you know, $2 million gig DJs that they have now. Right. It was just you were spinning records. But when you went in there and the guy that was like the sleazy guy behind the DJ booth up in the corner go, all right, guys, let's bring him out. Let's bring out Ginger, Amber, Christy.
It's so funny that you paint the picture like that because, Mike, this is not just a club DJ at a strip club. He's been there 10 years.
Wow. I bet
so
that
this is what he
good.
Does. But, Mike, he had a day unlike any other.
Riel, it happened just a few days ago at a strip club in Northwest Portland. That's where Oregon. The DJ says he was stabbed 4 times in the back, resulting in a collapsed lung.
Oh,
now he says he's just lucky to be alive after paramedics told him he was just minutes away from drowning in his own blood.
I've never actually had a dancer outright like attack me like that.
Duncan Allen has worked as a DJ at Casa Diablo League and Strip Club on Northwest St. Helens Road for over a decade and says he's seen a thing or two. But never did he think he would ever leave work in an ambulance with stab wounds or that he would have the footage to prove
right it. Right now they're showing the neon sign of a blonde eating a carrot, but they had to blur her cartoon breasts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they show the guy interviewed at all? Or
yeah, well, he talks. Yeah.
I was basically on my computer getting some songs ready. And next thing I know, it felt like a 500-pound man punched me in the back basically as hard as humanly possible. So,
Mike, the thing I need you to see again on the
It's a lady that does it, right?
Yeah, it's a dancer. It's a dancer at the club.
A dancer did it.
He's talking about how he was in excessive pain and he almost drowned in his own blood. Watch again when he gets stabbed and reacts like Joe Besser. He even puts his hands up like in fists, just like a...
Don't hurt me!
Yeah, watch. To prove
it.
Watch.
I was basically on my computer getting some songs ready.
Watch him.
And next thing I know, it felt like a 500-pound man.
It looks like she only hit him
back,
twice.
Basically, as hard as humanly possible. So I turned around expecting there to be like a huge dude like about to fight me and hit me. And it was her. And she was standing there holding the knife. I still didn't know I was stabbed at that point. But then I...
Duh.
Oh my God!
I know.
Don't piss off those strippers, man.
No, don't.
That's a world of hurt.
Why?
No, he didn't. He didn't go into why. I guess maybe the girl didn't like the song she played for him. I don't know.
I bet. I think fraternization was probably involved.
Well, if you ever see a disc jockey that looks like Paul Giamatti at a strip club, don't stab him. Don't do it.
Help me, Rhonda. Wow.
So, Mike, let's go to another hotbed for news, Boise, Idaho.
Boise!
If you're at an In-N-Out Burger in
By
Boise,
the way, that Boise State guy, that running back should have gotten the Heisman, not the guy from Colorado. The Boise State. My son was very upset that the running back from Boise State didn't win, whatever his name was.
Me too.
My son knows more than I
do. It almost ruined my weekend. Mm-hmm. In Boise, Idaho, Mike, they have an In-N-Out Burger. And, you know, it's always fun to go out with your friends and mess around. But if you are too big for the high chair, don't sit in the high chair. She's stuck.
Oh,
and they
no,
had to
young
call
lady.
Police.
Young lady. They had to call the cops.
Yeah, so embarrassing.
That is wedged in there. That is so funny. That is, she's laughing.
So the cop has got her under the arms, and they're just pulling the chair off.
Get it off.
And I think she's going to lose her trousers.
Is that a cop or a security guard? I can't
tell. I think that's just a guy. Thank God she's okay.
Oh, she made it.
Woo!
Yeah, everybody gives a round of applause. Great show. I would have loved to be in that restaurant when that happened.
That's
wonderful.
Pretty good,
show.
Huh?
Thank you. I like the lady with the baby. Thank God.
Well, she's been waiting to use the high chair.
I needed that chair.
The legitimate high chair. Can I have it now? This high chair smells like ass.
Are you
I don't
done?
Understand.
All right, Mike. Deadpool is actually, you know, Ryan Reynolds, and he's doing a charity for the Hospital for Sick Children. He's doing a charity thing over the holidays, and he made this short video, and I think it's funny. I still like Linda Carter. I think she's very pretty, and even she's an older woman, and she does a great gag in this. She shows up.
Did someone call for help?
Linda Carter! What the f*** are you?
You think
aren't you a wonderful woman?
Okay, so what's the plan?
We're going to help eliminate sick kids by raising money for
good.
Sick Kids Hospital.
Yeah. What do you need me to do?
Don't be so obtuse.
So obtuse.
A little Dolly Parton voice.
Yeah. You know, the thing, if you don't mind.
The thing.
Come on, lady, give us the
So you're thinking she's going to turn into
Here
Wonder
I
Woman.
Go.
She's going to do the spin.
She's going to do it!
Ugly Christmas sweater.
Who did this?
The DC lawyers, I know it.
That's one f***ing ugly sweater.
Yeah.
Who's the kid?
Wow. I guess, is that a new Deadpool character?
I don't know.
It is his own kid.
Oh, really?
He cast his entire family in the latest Deadpool movie.
Oh, really? I didn't.
I don't keep
do
up
Do you approve
with...
of that, Josh? You look like you don't approve.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Just check.
He does a fine job.
I don't keep up with the Pooliverse, but I do think it's funny that she's not allowed to be Wonder Woman because it's a Marvel movie or
That's
a Marvel
for
promotion.
Charity.
Yeah.
And then we didn't hear her talk a lot, but when we did, it was kind of a little.
No, I engineered an interview with her a few years ago. She's totally with it. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Really?
Really great. Yeah.
I didn't know. Did you? So you get to chat with Wonder Woman?
Yeah, this is funny. This is true. It was a Zoom interview, and she couldn't figure out why she was upside down. So I was called in to help her with her camera because she had it configured so she was upside down during the interview. She used to live in McLean. That's where I made small talk with her because I knew that she lived near me at one point.
Mm-hmm.
She's very nice. And let's close with this, Mike. If you go to
73 years old.
How old?
73.
God bless her.
She looks great for 73.
She sure does, yes.
Mike, there's a hot new trending character. We'll close with this. At Disney World in Orlando, it's called Tally the Elf. And Tally the Elf just goes through crowds and tell you whether or not you've been naughty or nice. And I don't know why this is trending, but I found myself sort of drawn to watching this because I think it's funny.
This right here. What's your name? Jason. Jason. That's a good name. But it's a naughty name. What's your name? Jessica.
She writes the name down.
Naughty! Jessica!
Hey, Josh.
You should be a sight.
Josh, this is the kind of entertainment Rob likes when he goes to the theme parks. This is the kind of entertainment that he Look
you're
at
not,
how happy he
you're
is.
You're not liking
look
it?
It's fine. Look at how happy he is, though. That's wonderful. Go,
it's
you
Tally
can play
the elf.
That's right. Where's the other elf? Whacker. Tally and Whacker.
What's your name?
Bob.
Bob? Mr. Bear, we're looking for Bob. Naughty!
My look at
Bob,
how amused
Bob
he
was
is.
Naughty.
Look at that. That's who we work with. Look at that, huh? That's special, isn't it? That's
it's another day of disappointment with Christmas just around the corner. So.
Yeah. I wonder why it's going viral. And then you just watch Rob.
Well, people are stupid. That's the
thing. There you go. That says it all. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all very, very much for joining us.
Mike, when you say bad things about Tally, you're naughty.
Yeah. Goddamn right.
And you know what I am? I'm
Tally
nice.
Redneck. Tally the redneck. Even naughty. Hey, ain't I funny? Killed him tonight, honey. Yes, sir.
Nice.
I put on my little
I'm
outfit.
So nice.
Yes, Rob's on the nice list. Everybody knows that, listens to this show. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new list. What makes
Look at me, Mike.
Special.
It sure is lonely. It's lonely on the list.
Oh, my God. Yes, you are. That's cool, but I'm sure you'll find some people there down at KD. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Gary Krimble.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
We think of Rob as good Rob and bad Rob.
Stripping down butt naked, bending over, all you could see was cellulite hanging in pubic hair.
The rent stays like a buffalo.